You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Back in August of 2018, here on the Locked On Kings podcast, I turned on my microphone and said that all we can ask for as Sacramento Kings fans is for this team to show significant growth and continue to improve game in and game out and be competitive on a nightly basis. Well, the Sacramento Kings have done that, and they did that relatively quickly. They met those expectations as early as late November, early December, as the Kings made their way into 2019, hovering around and even over 500. They have remained at that spot through the majority of this season. We are in early March. The Kings are in a playoff race, although it looks like they are falling out of it quickly, and the hill is getting steeper and steeper for the Kings to breach that postseason gap that has been just killing the Kings for the last almost 13 years. This young Sacramento squad has checked every box and granted every realistic wish that we as fans, as Sacramento media, everybody had when looking at this team to start the season. Playoffs are the cherry on top. Of course, we all want the Kings to make it. And mathematically, there still is a chance, and I am all for not giving up hope. But the Kings are playing with house money right now. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the fun. 18 games remaining. If this team can find a way to finish the season at or over 500, which I believe they will, we might as well throw a parade through the streets of downtown Sacramento. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with all the local and national experts, audio from coaches and players alike, this is the place for you. If you're a Kings fan, welcome home. I hope you will spend every single weekday, not just during the regular season, but during the playoffs, regardless of if the Kings make it or not. Also, during the offseason, getting ready for the draft, even though the Kings don't have a first-round pick. This podcast runs all year long. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which is a continually growing podcast network. Day after day, week after week, month after month, this podcast network continues to trend upward. Over 200,000 people have listened to the Locked On Kings podcast or listened to the Locked On Kings podcast in 2018. That is an over 100% jump from the year before, and we are continuing to grow today. I am so thankful for everybody who chooses to listen to this podcast and to make this part of their daily routine, whether you're commuting and listen to this while you're driving in your car, or you listen during your lunch break at work, or if you're out for a jog and listening. Regardless, we are so thankful here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and I want to make sure you know that that thanks comes directly from me. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here on Locked On Kings. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter, and I am known there as a quote-unquote blind optimist, and have been a blind optimist with this team for quite some time. It's my coping mechanism to get through the rough times, and now that they're in the fun times, it makes things a whole lot easier. I had an appearance this morning, Thursday morning, on The Drive, which is KHDK's morning show, with Carmichael Dave and Kyle Madsen. Got the opportunity to speak with them and go back and forth. Dave and I, typically, if you're a listener of KHDK content, which you can be by tuning in AM 1140 on your radio dial if you're local. If you are not, you can download the KHDK app or listen online at KHDK.com. And I highly encourage you to do so. You get a lot of great content, weekly interviews with local and national experts, weekly interviews with Kings players. Even Dave Yeager makes a lot of appearances on The Drive specifically through the course of the season. So there are a lot of reasons for you to listen to KHDK content. But Dave and I have gone back and forth a lot because Dave typically takes the pessimistic approach to watching this Kings team, and that was his coping mechanism for dealing with the ebbs and flows and the overall disappointment of being a Kings fan for the last decade plus of no playoffs. And it's completely understandable. His approach and my approach were very, very different. However, Dave has shifted a little bit over the course of this season, as I believe many Kings fans themselves had. And I want to clarify something. Not that I need to really explain anything, but to make things more transparent for you, my optimism with this Kings team coming into this year had everything to do with what I said in the intro to this podcast, that this team would be competitive, that they would show growth, and that they would start to turn that corner and win a lot of games that in years past they have not been able to win. And they have done that. My goal for this year, my measuring stick, was put at 34 wins, which is more wins than the Kings ever won with DeMarcus Cousins. To me, my theory was if the Kings, this young Kings team with a second-year De'Aaron Fox, with a third-year Buddy Hield, with a second-year Bogdan Bogdanovic, if that young Kings team could win more games than they ever won with a bona fide superstar in DeMarcus Cousins over the, 6 to 8 seasons that he was here. I can't remember off the top of my head. If they could do that, to me, that is all the proof of tangible growth that you need. That means Dave Yeager gets to keep his job. That means Vlade Divac gets to keep his job. And that means there is really, honestly, nothing to complain about here in Sacramento. And we can wholeheartedly and emotionally move on from the DeMarcus Cousins trade once and for all. The Kings are going to reach that point. There's no way, in my opinion, they don't win 2 more games this season out of the final 18. In fact, they probably should win the next 2 games or could win the next 2 games as they go on this 4-game Eastern Conference road trip beginning with the New York Knicks in Madison Square Garden on Saturday. To me, there is no reason why the Kings won't win 34 games and break that number. To me, I believe the Kings will be over 500 by the time this season is all said and done. That might not be enough and probably won't be enough for the Kings to make the playoffs, which it just goes to show how difficult it is to make the playoffs in the East, or in the West rather, and how much easier it is in the East. If the Kings were in the East right now, I think they'd be like the 5th or 6th seed, which is just ridiculous. But hey, welcome to the NBA. But that's where my optimism was. It lied with showing that kind of improvement. That does not now stretch and extend to a playoff or bust attitude, which I know some fans have adapted. And you know what? Or adopted, I should say. And you know what? That's okay. If you are putting all your eggs in that basket, and because it's the first time that the Kings have been in this position in God knows how long, that's fine. If that's how you want a fan, that's how you want a fan. And you know what? I love you and support you for it. But my optimism does not stretch as far as the Kings will 100% absolutely catch the Spurs and make the postseason this year. And if they do not, then they have not met my expectations. Like I said in the intro, at this point, Kings are playing with house money. And if you have that mindset and you have that approach for the final 18 games of the season, I'm not saying you're going to deal with disappointment. I'm not saying it's not going to sting if the Kings finish in the 9th seed and miss out of the playoffs by 2, 3, 4 games. That might still suck. I mean, it's going to still suck, of course. We're all rooting for the Kings to make the playoffs and to burst through that wall. But that wasn't the expectation at the start of the season, and what's fantastic is that the Kings' season does not hinder on that whatsoever. Now, that's going to set the table for what hopefully is a very lucrative summer for the Kings, and I'm not just talking about free agent acquisitions or trade acquisitions or even draft acquisitions. I'm also talking about just overall continued player development. And maybe, I don't know, re-signing your GM and your head coach that have gotten you this far. The Kings are setting themselves up for a brighter future. And if they don't make the playoffs this year, that future is not pulled out from underneath them. To me, the only thing that can stop the Kings from fulfilling that goal of making the playoffs and hopefully competing for championships with this De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley-led core 2, 3 years from now, the only thing that can stop them is themselves, not missing the playoffs this season. Kings lost to the Boston Celtics last night inside the Golden 1 Center, 111-109. Another fun contest, another game where the Kings fell just short of one of the better teams in the NBA. Kings lost by 2 points to the Celtics. They lost by a point to the Bucks. They lost by 2 points to the Nuggets. How many times have they lost by 1 to 2 points to the Golden State Warriors this season? Kings have done what we have all asked. They've been competitive on a nightly basis. They have put themselves repeatedly in positions to win. I know moral victories are old and that fans who are desperately wanting to see this team bring playoffs back to Sacramento are frustrated to see the team be there and be on the cusp over and over again, but just not be able to get over the hump, I get it. But in the grand scheme of this season, a 111-109 loss to the Boston Celtics, where the Kings had multiple chances to win it on their home floor, that's a good thing. The bad thing is, playoff teams win those games last night on their home floor, regardless of the competition that they're taking on. Kings didn't. What that tells me is that this still extremely young and green and raw team isn't there yet. But they're a whole hell of a lot closer than we expected them to be. San Antonio Spurs beat the Atlanta Hawks last night. No surprise there. So the Kings are now four games back of the Spurs and the Clippers in the seventh and eighth seeds. However, it's more like five games back of the Clippers in the seventh seed because Clippers swept the Kings 4-0 this season, which means the Kings have no chance at a tiebreaker. So they would have to beat the Clippers. So maybe you could say, I guess, they're 4.5 games back of the Clippers. But 4 games back of the Spurs, let's put it this way. As much of an optimist as I am, and as much as I love wishful thinking, I'm not putting money against head coach Greg Popovich and LaMarcus Aldridge to stumble out of the playoffs. Later on in today's podcast, we'll look at the Kings' upcoming schedule, we'll look at the Spurs' upcoming schedule, and we'll look at the Clippers' upcoming schedule through the remainder of this season. It's not going to be that long. We're not going to tediously go through game by game, but I'm going to read the opponents off that these three teams are playing through the final 18 or so games this season. And together, we can try and figure out realistically how many games we believe the Spurs should win and will win, and realistically how many games the Clippers should win and will win. And that'll give you an idea of what it's going to take for the Kings to sneak their way in. And I think you'll get a better understanding, like I have, of how truly unlikely it is that the Kings make it. But that's okay. That's truly okay. Let's look at some of the numbers from this loss to the Celtics last night. Starting-wise, Kings had a great night, great output from their starting five, all five in double-digit scoring. Harrison Barnes had another great game offensively, 4 of 7 from three-point range. He led the Kings in scoring with 24 points. Had a chance to hit the game-winning three, but it was a very difficult shot. Dave Yeager, following the game, came out and did say that Harrison Barnes was not their first option and that him putting up that shot was not nearly what he had drawn up and what the Kings wanted to do out of the timeout there, inbounding from the sideline. But the Boston Celtics defense did a fantastic job at taking away the Kings' top two options, which I guarantee you were Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox. He didn't go into the specifics, did Yeager, but it's safe to assume the top two options there because the Kings were only down by two. They could have tied the game and tried to force it to overtime. They didn't have to go for three. But the Celtics are a great defensive team, and even though they were without Kyrie Irving last night, like I said, they have a crap ton of depth, and they showed it. Terry Rozier can step in that starting point guard role, and I'm not going to say Rozier is nearly as good as Kyrie Irving, but he does the job. Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward off the bench, combined for 22 points. Not exceptional by any means. Gordon Hayward had a quiet night overall, especially from three-point range. He was 0 for 3, but he did hit the game-winning basket with few seconds remaining. They have a lot of players on that team that know when to step up. Jason Tatum abused Bogdan Bogdanovic in this game. Kings did that typical starting five of Fox, Hield, Buddy, or Bogey, and the 4 and 5 were Harrison Barnes and Willie Cauley-Stein. And the lack of size on the defensive end of the floor hurt the Kings. Jason Tatum took advantage, 24 points, 8 of 17 from the field, 2 of 4 from three-point range, got to the line 6 times, cashed in on all 6 of them. He also had a couple of hero shots, and that was really the theme of this game, is the Boston Celtics, coming off of the massive win where they just did not miss against the Golden State Warriors on Tuesday night, they made a lot of really difficult shots in this game to ultimately win. They shot 50% from the field, and the Kings are by no means a fantastic defensive team whatsoever. But the Kings, overall, the players and the coach, were happy with their defensive effort and their defensive output in this game. And you know, I agree with them. They forced the Celtics into tough spots and tough situations, and the Celtics, being the playoff team and potential championship contender that they are, they cashed in. The Kings forced the Celtics to do what they forced the Nuggets, what they forced the Bucks, and what they forced the Warriors to do all season long. Bring the big guns in and make them go full NBA Finals or full playoff mode. Take over the game and make sure that they secure a win against a worse team that doesn't quit. Celtics had to do that last night with that Gordon Hayward game winner. Jason Tatum had to go superhero mode. And the Kings were still right there with a chance to win. They made a couple of mistakes turning the ball over. There was one in particular that just made me want to pull my hair out towards the end of the game where the Kings got a quick bucket, tied the game up. Then there was a loose ball going the other way. Nemanja Bjelica dove to the floor, and instead of controlling it and taking a timeout, which he should have done, and the Kings would have had a chance to win the game, he tried to, while diving for it, tip it forward and start the fast break. And I understand the idea, because the Kings are already leaking out, and we know how much this team likes to run. And had he completed it, we would have been talking about it being one of the greatest plays that he's ever made, and it would have resulted in 2 points that could have won the game for the Kings. But it's little things like that. And that's what Dave Yeager said following the game. He said, when you look at games that are decided, like this one was, 111 to 109, only a two-point difference, that both teams had multiple opportunities towards the end to win, and ultimately one had to win. You look at the little things. Defensive mistakes, turnovers, missed layups in the first half. That's what Dave Yeager said. So it's understandable why the players would be frustrated, but we heard from De'Aaron Fox, we heard from Harrison Barnes, we heard from Buddy Hield, and even though they were disappointed that they didn't get the win, they did say that they were proud of the effort that they gave and how difficult they made it on Boston. And that's really all you can ask for. The only area of complaint and disappointment that I have with this Kings team was the fact that they got 13 total points from their bench. 13 points on 14 shots. They went 4 of 14 from the field, and you got 13 points from that second unit. I like the fact that Hield played 38 minutes. I like the fact De'Aaron played 35. I like the fact that Barnes played 36. That's great. And Dave Yeager has said that he's going to pick up the minutes for this Kings team and for these starters going forward. But you need more output from your bench. And this is where not having Marvin Bagley really, really kills you. I truly believe this. If Marvin Bagley had played last night, the Kings would have won that game. If Marvin Bagley had been able to finish the game against the Milwaukee Bucks, I think the Kings would have won that game. If Marvin Bagley had been healthy and played in the New York Knicks game, they absolutely would have won that game. And I believe if Marvin Bagley had been healthy and played in that final meeting with the Clippers in Sacramento, the Kings would have won that game too. Marvin Bagley is extremely important for this team, especially in half-court offensive sets. And the Boston Celtics did it to the Kings in the second quarter. The Kings only scored 17 points in the second quarter of this game. Because what did the Celtics do? They took away transition and forced them into half-court offense. And Marvin Bagley has quickly become the go-to offensive guy, or the ball runs through Marvin Bagley in half-court offensive sets for this team pretty consistently now. And that's a good thing. But not having him on the floor could be, over this two-week stretch, potentially longer, could be what we point to as that's why the Kings didn't make the playoffs this year. It's an unfortunate injury, but that's how the game of basketball goes. But I'm not going to complain. So again, it is not over by any means. Mathematically, the Kings still have a good chance of making it. 4 games back of the Spurs and the Clippers in the 7th and 8th seeds with 18 games to go. Kings would have to get some help from the Spurs or Clippers. And still, their fate is in their hands. They need to win games. And they know that. And I guarantee you that nobody in that locker room is completely checked out and has completely given up. They're aware that they still have a chance, and stranger things have happened in professional sports. Me, personally, I'm not ready to say that I believe that the Kings will catch San Antonio or Los Angeles. I'm not in a position to say that, and you know what? I'm okay with that. I accept that. I'm happy if they do, happy if they don't. But this Kings team still believes, and based off of the games that they have coming up, particularly this 4-game Eastern Conference road trip, they need to find a way to go 3-1 over this trip. Now, realistically, I could see them going 2-2, which anytime you can stay 500 on the road during a road trip, it's normally good. And that would keep the Kings at a 500 record coming back home for a very favorable 4-game homestand. But if the Kings can find a way on this 4-game trip in New York and Washington and Boston and in Philadelphia to get 3 out of those 4 games, then returning home for meetings with Chicago, Brooklyn, Dallas, and Phoenix. There is a chance that the Kings can go 7-1 over this next 8 games. And if they do that, then they go back on the road for meetings with Los Angeles, Dallas, and New Orleans. Plus, they still have a game to play in San Antonio at the end of the month. If the Kings handle their business on this road trip and go 3-1 over these 4 games, they put themselves in a position to make it come down to the very end. 2-2 doesn't kill you. 1-3, it's pretty much over. 0-4, we know it's over. But let's take a look at the schedules of these two teams. We'll start with the Los Angeles Clippers that I'm pretty comfortable in saying that they're out of reach. Not mathematically impossible again, but they're out of reach, in my opinion. I know that's very different from when we heard that they were trading Tobias Harris. I came on the air here on this podcast and said that the Clippers were going to fall out because I believed it, and so did most of the people on this planet. But the Clippers play hard, they play together, and they're a damn good team. And you know what? Good on Doc Rivers, good on Patrick Beverley, good on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams. They play hard. And I hope they make the playoffs. I really do. But here's a look at their upcoming schedule. It's not easy by any means. Their next 3 games are against Oklahoma City, Boston, and Portland. Now, they're all at home. They're about to start a 6-game homestand. OKC, Boston, Portland, Chicago, Brooklyn, Indiana. At worst, to me, that's a 3-3 homestand. Most likely 4-2 or 5-1. Then they go on the road for 4 games, and honestly, I see them going 3-1 over those 4. At Cleveland, at New York, at Minnesota, at Milwaukee. Then they return home for another 4-game homestand where they'll probably go 3-1 versus Cleveland, versus Memphis, versus Houston, and versus Los Angeles. Then they go to Golden State for 1 game. That's a loss, most likely, at Golden State, although the Warriors might be resting and gearing up for the playoffs at that point, so they could win that one. And then they end their season at home against the Utah Jazz. Too many winnable games through the remainder of this stretch for me to predict or feel comfortable with the idea that the Clippers are going to fall out. So I'm dismissing that one. San Antonio is this team to catch. And they got some tough matchups coming up. Not impossible, but tough. They have the Milwaukee Bucks in town on Sunday. The Spurs did a good job defeating Oklahoma City and defeating Denver on their home floor. Two teams that are better than them in the standings. And who knows what state Milwaukee will be in for that game. I assume Giannis Antetokounmpo will be playing, but remember, the Bucks have clinched. So in their mind, they're going to try and make sure they're doing everything possible to be healthy with that number one seed when the playoffs begin. I don't think it's going to be a wash by any means, but the Spurs are on a four-game win streak right now. So I like them to beat the Milwaukee Bucks at home. Then they have a meeting at Dallas. Then they're at home for New York, Portland, Golden State, Miami. I can see them going 2-2 or 3-1 on that homestand. Then they go on the road for Houston, Boston, Charlotte. I can see them going 2-1 or 1-2 during that trip. Then they return home, Cleveland, Sacramento, Atlanta. I see them going 3-0 or 2-1 on that homestand. Then on the road, Denver, Washington, Cleveland. I see them going 1-2 or 2-1 on that road trip. And then they end the season against the Dallas Mavericks. I see them winning that game. It's going to take the Kings going 7-1 or 8-0 over these next 8 games and the Spurs dropping a couple surprising. It's going to take the Spurs losing to Milwaukee, losing to Dallas, losing to Portland, losing to Golden State, losing to Houston, losing to Boston, and losing to Sacramento, and losing to Denver, in my opinion. They're going to have to lose all those games that I just listed for the Kings to have a chance. And the Spurs are too well coached and have too much talent to lose all of those games that I just listed, in my opinion. It's possible, but to me, it's unlikely. What do you think? I just laid out some of the schedules and some of the matchups and some of the remaining games for the Clippers, for the Spurs, and then, of course, for your Sacramento Kings through the remainder of the season. Let me know how you're feeling. What's your confidence level at with this Kings squad? Can they make it? Do you believe they'll make it? Tell me why. At MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I should have details next week on when the Fans Only podcast will be. Of course, you can count on more great coverage on the Locked On Kings podcast tomorrow, and carrying into next week. If you are new, welcome into the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Let me know that you are new right now by following me on Twitter and telling me that you listen to this podcast. I'll give you a follow right back. Have great conversations there. I want you to know and understand, and this goes for all the veteran listeners to this podcast as well, this is just as much your platform as it is mine. So be a part of the conversation and use this as an outlet to cause and create fan and Kings specific conversation. I also encourage you to spread your wings a little bit and check out some of the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, even if it's local podcasts for other NBA teams that you're not a fan of. I guarantee you listening to Locked On Clippers or Locked On Spurs right now with the Kings trying to catch them is very entertaining. I guarantee you also listening to the Locked On Lakers is very entertaining because we can ultimately laugh at their pain. That's probably the best thing that has happened this season other than the Kings being a surprise and being at 500 in early March. If you have time to head over to the Locked On Kings page on or in the iTunes store, and you can leave a review, that would help us out a ton. Please do that. And again, join the conversation at any time. We'd love to chat with you, whether it's in person or on social media. Just let me know. I'm here at any time for you. That'll do it for today's Locked On Kings podcast. Thank you so much to everybody who listened in. I will be back tomorrow working on getting a good guest for you on tomorrow's podcast, so stay tuned for that. Until then, my name is Matt George. Have yourself a fantastic Thursday, and I will talk to you tomorrow on the Locked On Podcast Network. This is Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team. Every day.